Stand on the box, stomp your feet, start clapping. Got a real good feeling, something bad about to happen.
Helmets and Heels on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Here's Jessica Blaylock, Donna Murphy, Lauren Brooks, and Blythe Brumleave.
Whoa, something bad.
It is Tuesday night, and we are ready to go. Jessica Blaylock, Lauren Brooks, Donna Murphy, Blythe Brumleave, back at Everbank Field after taking it to the streets last week at Jackson Social. Again, a big shout out to Denard Robinson and Jordan Todman for making last week so much fun. But we had a lot of fun, but tonight is really about some more serious topics. But first, Donna, you have a little breaking news in the NFL, especially for people who are either still doing fantasy drafts or in the midst of setting their lineup.
That's right. And I actually have a fantasy draft tonight.
You know, with
Mike Dempsey, so I'm excited about. But breaking news is that Broncos wide receiver Wes Welker, we all know that he has been concussed a few times this preseason, but now he has been suspended 4 games for amphetamine use. Very interesting. I'm interested to see how far he'll fall tonight, but that is not good news for Peyton Manning.
No, and especially when you do the fantasy drafts, you can see that little, depending on what site you use, it'll depend on the symbol, but you'll see, they'll say suspended, so everyone will avoid them if they're smart, at least.
You're making a move, aren't you, Blythe? Because you had Wes Welker on one of your teams.
I did. Based on the concussion alone, I was probably going to just put him on the reserves for a while because we do have an IR spot on our fantasy league. But after this news, he might just get cut and then just pick him up later on in the year because that's a valuable roster spot that we're going to lose for a while.
Right. Especially depending on the bye weeks.
Yeah, right. So keep in mind, no Wes Welker for the first 4 weeks of the regular season due to amphetamine use. And speaking of cuts, we're now at the point where teams have whittled their rosters down to 53 players to kick off the regular season. The Jaguars released a series of cuts all throughout the course of last week. First off, ladies, any cuts surprise you? Lauren, I'll start with you.
Well, I think that on every show on our air, we talked about Mike Brewster, that if he, especially I know on Jaguars Today, Jeff Lagerman said a few weeks ago, he thought that if Mike Brewster wasn't the starting center, that he wasn't going to make the team. And I think that's eventually how it shook out. They expected him, and they said all offseason he'd gotten stronger, gotten more physical, which is exactly what they wanted. And he started the preseason starting. Unfortunately, he didn't last in that position. So I was a little surprised that they didn't keep him around for depth, but unfortunately, it just didn't work out for him. And I got to know him a little bit being here, so certainly good luck to Mike Brewster. But other than that, I wasn't truly surprised. I think I did expect Marcell Jensen, the tight end, to be on the practice squad. So today, when that was the last of the 10 spots signed, that basically solidified what I expected to have happen.
I have to say, I actually completely agree with you, Lauren, on the Brewster. You're not really surprised. I wasn't surprised that he wasn't going to be on the 53-man roster. However, I was really shocked that they didn't keep him for depth. I mean, either it shows they have complete faith in who they have currently or no faith at all in him and just want him away from Jacksonville.
Blythe, did anything stick out to you?
To piggyback off what you guys said about Brewster, it really sounds like that Caldwell doesn't even think that he's going to be on the practice squad based off his comments. I think one surprising, maybe positive note was the Tyler Shatney, the offensive lineman that they actually kept on based off interest from other teams in the league. So I thought that was good to see, that we can at least build some depth on that, on the O-line that needs it desperately.
I was surprised about two other cuts besides Mike Brewster. And even though Marcell Jensen was brought back to the practice squad, tight end was, you know, with the injury to Clay Harbor, tight end was a position that I thought they did need some depth. And, you know, maybe they think they can get someone better with the waiver wire. Maybe things are looking up as far as Clay Harbor. But I thought Marcell Jensen would make this team. He had a nice reception from Blake Bortles in that fourth preseason game. And he had shown a lot of positives at the beginning of training camp, kind of leveled off a little bit, but I thought he had a shot. Luckily for him, he is going to be a part of the Jacksonville practice squad, so he'll be able to move up easily if that's the case. And then Nate Stupar, I was a little bit surprised about because he had played well as the backup Mike linebacker. He's been in the system. He was here last year, so he has familiarity with the defense. I was a little bit surprised about that one as well, but I think they figure a guy like JT Thomas has a little bit more flexibility to play inside or out, so they feel more comfortable going with him.
And they did say that that was a hard one to let go because he
absolutely
had been around the program.
Right, and Gus Bradley, I was here yesterday when he spoke to the media, and he did. He said that it was really difficult. That was probably one of the most difficult conversations that he had was with Nate Supar. You know, and I feel like for Gus Bradley, you know, I heard Ryan O'Halloran describe him one time like this, and I thought it was so spot on. He's a professional coach with a college coach mentality. And I think it is very, very difficult for him to have to let a player go. But they do everything that they can during training camp, during these preseason games, to help guys get good things on film. And I think one thing this organization has shown is that they're going to let guys go early enough for them to find opportunities with other teams.
Absolutely. And of course, being on the other end of that, having a family member that has actually sat in the chair when Dave and Gus told him that he wasn't going to be a part of the at least active roster at the time, you do feel for Dave and Gus even as much as you feel for the player. It is really hard to look someone in the eyes that you respect and have to say to them, I'm sorry, you're going to have to find another home. I mean, especially for someone that has a family, young kids, or maybe ailing parents that are close by to where they currently are, and then they have to move. I don't ever, as a manager, ever want to fire anyone. And so as a general manager, as a coach, I don't ever want to be in that position either, to have to say, look, you're a fantastic person, and we just don't have room for you based off of what we saw on the field, even though you worked so hard. Ugh. It's not a role I ever want.
Do you think making cuts, Donna, is the most difficult part of this job? Do you think having to deal with a loss? I mean, what do you think would be the most difficult part of being Gus and Dave?
Looking at it from the outside, I would have to say having to unfortunately put someone on IR that you know is a valuable player that you know you will miss, and having to be that person to step into their shoes and you can't really fulfill them. I would think knowing that you will miss that player for an extended period of time, that must have to be the hardest part. I think, you know, the loss, the wins, you know, you expect those. The cuts, you always expect them going into preseason. But losing someone like that, I think, would be the hardest.
And I don't think that, Blythe, we always realize really how difficult it is to go through a cut. I mean, luckily for some guys, they get picked up right away. But for others, it may be weeks, sometimes months, until they find another home.
Yeah, speaking from personal experience, from someone who has dated an athlete in the past, it is one of the most heartbreaking things to see someone go through the process of getting cut and there's nothing you can do for them. And it affects more than just the player and the guys that have to do the cutting. It affects families. It affects children. You have to pick up and move immediately. It's not something where you can sit around for a couple months and decide what you want to do. You have to leave and you have to figure something out quick. And that's one of the most difficult things we ever had to go through.
One of the players that it has luckily worked out for here in Jacksonville is cornerback Will Blackman. He has really, I think, come in and contributed last season, really made his mark. I thought he was one of the unsung heroes in the secondary, really had some nice plays. But he kind of had a rocky road to getting to the Jaguars and finding his place. He had to go through several teams, getting cut from two of them, that would be Green Bay and Seattle, before things really did work out. And he was gracious enough to share some thoughts with us on really what it's like walking through that situation. Here's what he said about being there before and what that experience is like when you are in a situation of getting cut.
I think in any profession, it's tough because you want to be able to control your own destiny, not your own destiny, but you want to control, say, the decision maker's decision. You know, the one thing I learned to do is you can't control that. So what can you control? That's your effort. That's your attitude. That's staying positive. That's giving all you can.
Here is Blackman on what that conversation can be like when you're called into that room to have to turn in your playbook.
It's tough because you're going through the process and you're building that foundation with the team, so you truly have a connection, you know, like, hey, we're in this together. Green Bay was tough because I came in there with a new regime. I came in with Coach McCarthy, just building that team. You know, we did the four-year plan, like, okay, we're going to build. Now this is the year to win the Super Bowl. So I was in that meeting room when McCarthy put up the blank picture of the championship team that said 2010, this is going to be us. It's funny, I was leaving the facility and I got a call, and I was like, you know, this is probably the call. This is the day. So I went up there, and being there for 5 years, I knew everybody in the building, so I knew it was tough. Even when I went to talk to my special teams coach, because I was the returning ace over there, and even he just started bawling and choked up. And, you know, it made me choke up because we had such a strong connection. The same thing, but Ted Thompson, even, you know, he couldn't even talk. He just turned red in the face, just knew it was a tough decision, but he had to do what was best for the football team.
But after things didn't work out in Green Bay, something cool kind of happened. Let's hear Will Blackman's follow-up story.
It was funny. The next morning, my wife woke up, and she's like, I had a dream that the Giants were going to call you. And I just laughed at her. And then my agent called. He was like, yo, New York wants to fly you in. Yeah, it was crazy. It's a woman's intuition. They're always right.
That's right. We are always right.
Can we make that? Will. That has to be every pre-show, right?
Women's intuition. They're always right. But yeah, I mean, you listen to hear or you hear Will Blackman describe what that's like being called into an office, especially being with a team for that length of time. I mean, your coach is breaking down and really losing it because it's that emotional of a decision, especially when you've walked through with that team from the beginning.
Well, when you're putting in so much extra effort at, oh my gosh, the sweat, the heartbreak when the team loses, sometimes, like for instance right now, offensive line coach George Yarno is going through battling cancer. And so you form a closeness with people, and then all of a sudden, everything that you've ever built is cut just immediately. And you, that same day that you get the news that you're cut, sometimes you're flying somewhere else. And so your family then has to pack up all of your stuff. You're not there to help them, especially, if, like I said, if you have kids, the wife is then struggling with what to do with them and packing up the stuff. And again, all these bonds that you've formed are just suddenly, I mean, they don't go away forever, but they are suddenly changed forever because you're no longer seeing them every day. And I am telling you, I had tears in my eyes when he was telling that story. I can only imagine the emotional Lauren trying to tell someone you are not coming back tomorrow for practice. I would be a mess.
I mean, it truly, it shows you that it really is a business. That's all it is. It's not a fun thing to do every Sunday that we look at. It is truly a business. I mean, for instance, you look at Logan Mankins, who got let go, just flat out released by the Patriots, who was with them for 8 years. 8 years, you know? Mm-hmm. That was a shock. If you ask me what is the shock of a cut for this offseason, it would be that one for me, because you wouldn't have seen it coming, but you just have to say, well, clearly they know what they're doing over there. But
and not just the front office. I mean, Tom Brady said how upset he was about the move. So it's not just relationships with front office personnel, coaching staff. It's the relationships with your teammates as well. So we do appreciate Will Blackman giving us a little bit of an insight as to what that's like. But we're happy that it's worked out for him here in Jacksonville. We love having Will Blackman around. When we do return, we're going to keep it on a serious topic. Domestic violence, we all know what happened with Ray Rice and the 2-game suspension. Roger Goodell admitted that he got it wrong the first time around. Has he gotten it right this time? Several of your Jaguar players weigh in. We will also share our opinion on the NFL's new domestic abuse policy. You are listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You're listening to Helmets and Heels on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels. We do want to say a big thank you to Underwoods Jewelers, who is now a presenting sponsor for our show.
Thank you.
We would love to come out and look at all those diamonds.
We can't wait to try them on and figure out which ones we get for free.
I've been told they are a girl's best friend.
They absolutely are a girl's best friend.
I'm still good with chocolate as well. So if any chocolate companies are wanting to throw their name on the show, diamonds and chocolate will be set forever.
I do actually have a couple friends whose husbands, well, now husbands, at the time boyfriends and then fiancés, of course, went to Underwoods and got their wives, now wives, jewelry.
Smart.
Yes, very smart, and they have gorgeous rings. So certainly, all the gentlemen listening out there, head to Underwoods.
It's a great choice, and what's cool about Underwoods is it's not just necessarily engagement rings. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's watches, it's anniversary jewelry. It's any type of jewelry you need, and it's the best in the business. So if you have any type of jewelry need, go check out Underwoods Jewelers. All right, ladies, a serious topic. I know we like to have a lot of fun, but this one is definitely serious. What happened with Ray Rice and his then fiance was obviously terrible, awful. I'm sure we all watched the video. We saw him dragging her out of the elevator after God knows what happened inside of it. And he gets a slap on the wrist with a 2-game suspension, which was a joke. I think we all agree on that.
Especially when someone like Ace Sanders gets a 4-game suspension.
Right.
It just doesn't line up.
Right, right. And Roger Goodell recently admitted that he got it wrong. And Donna, he has come out with what is now a much harsher penalty for instances of domestic abuse. Just refresh us on what those are.
Well, he sent a letter to all the NFL owners, which when we were reading through this after I printed it out, I said, you know, it seems like something that you turn into writing a letter to your boyfriend and it ends up being 5 pages long. You're like, oh, my gosh, because you're saying the same thing over and over and over again. But, however, he did mention some very, very good points, and one of them was definitely saying, I got it wrong. But what is the new mandate now is a first offense will be subject to a suspension of 6 weeks without pay, which I love the without pay part. Thank you. Now, mitigating circumstances will be considered and more severe discipline will be imposed if there are aggravating circumstances such as now the presence of or use of a weapon, choking, repeated striking, or when the act is committed against a pregnant woman or in the presence of a child. So I'm going to stop there because we did have an incident that occurred
already.
Yes.
3 days after the new policy came out.
49ers Ray McDonald. Now, it was supposedly at his birthday party and against his pregnant fiance. He is claiming, yes, we will, the truth will come out. So we'll see what happens there. But because this was a pregnant woman, his fiance, this could be a more severe punishment than 6 games. Now, they're going to obviously wait and check and look into it, so we'll see there. Now, moving on to it, it says a second offense will result in a banishment from the league. An offender may petition for reinstatement after 1 year, but there is no assurance that that petition will be granted.
Yeah, and I think that Roger Goodell absolutely got it right the second time around. Like I said, the 2-game suspension initially for Ray Rice, it's a joke. That's a slap on the wrist. There's no real punishment there. Okay, so you're missing out on 2 game checks in the long run. What does that matter to Ray Rice? I mean, he's going to be fine. I thought it was awful. I thought it was laughable. And I'm so glad that Roger Goodell has now taken a much harsher stance on domestic abuse.
And the only way that I could take a stance was by not drafting Ray Rice in my fantasy drafts and by absolutely saying there's no way that I would draft him based off of his behavior. The only way that I would actually tweak this policy change from Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, is to say instead of the without pay part, which I appreciate that they're not getting paid, but instead of that exactly being just taken from their wallets, which doesn't really affect them in the end probably anyway, take that portion and give it to domestic violence charities or charities that actually support women after the fact of domestic abuse, because that's where all of a sudden now we're taking something that's horribly negative and turning it into some sort of small benefit.
That's definitely an excellent point. And to the greater point of all of this, it really just speaks to how inconsistent Roger Goodell has been over personal conduct throughout all kinds of rulings. I mean, Josh Gordon was just suspended for the entire year for having a trace of marijuana in one of his samples. And so it just to give Ray Rice 2 games and give Gordon an entire season based off a trace of evidence when you have an elevator footage of Ray Rice, it just speaks to the greater trouble that he's had with coming down on personal conduct policy.
And it's sad because, Donna, you would want to think that these guys would feel remorse for their actions just because. But a lot of times it takes hitting them in the wallet before they get it. And losing out on 6 games or losing out on a year is much different than losing out on 2 games.
You know, for someone like Ray McDonald, who this just occurred with, that'll hurt him in the wallet. For someone like Ray Rice, who makes millions and millions and millions,
right,
likely not going to hurt him, not going to bother him at all.
And certainly you can weigh in on this by tweeting us at Jess Blaylock, at Blythe Brum, at Football Show, and at 1010XL Lauren, or at Helmets and Heels, the easiest way to do it probably. But Adam Rothstein, who's listening with the Twitter handle Rostar, it'll show how good a policy it is or isn't if it has an effect on domestic abuse occurrences. Too soon to tell. Do you ladies agree, disagree with that?
Well, seeing how one already happened, You know, it depends on what he gets. If McDonald gets more than six games, because that's what it states here in the letter, with against a pregnant woman or a child, you could get a more severe penalty. So I would like to see eight games for Ray McDonald if the so-called truth comes out and he did do everything. I would like to see that, and then I would say, yeah, this works perfectly then.
I think one of the things that scares me, though, is that a lot of times women who are being abused don't want to report it. They don't want to file a report. They don't want to make it a big deal. They don't want to press charges. A lot of times you don't even know what's going on behind the scenes. So, yes, the good thing is if we see less and less occurrences of domestic abuse being, you know, fined by the NFL, losing game paychecks, being kicked out of the league. Yeah, that's a great thing if we see less and less of it. But I think there is still a problem of domestic abuse that's taking place. And I do think the reason immediately that this is a good policy is that there is a much greater penalty to the violation. Whereas before, I think people, you know, probably think you can get away with something if the penalty isn't that great, or it doesn't matter if I lose my temper because I'm only going to lose out on a game paycheck or two. Now, Blythe, this might end your career.
And I think that that's another important part of this, is that it doesn't just affect the players on the field. It affects everyone who works for the NFL. So it's going to be a little curious to see how the NFL is going to react, say, if a woman hits a man. Is she going to get the same penalty? Is she going to get fired from her job? Is she still going to hold that role? Because it should be equal. Domestic violence shouldn't apply to either gender. So I'm going to be really curious to see how it's going to be that the punishments are going to be given out throughout the whole league.
Well, the cool part, I think, about Roger Goodell's job is that he gets to decide these things. There doesn't need to be a court. There doesn't need to be a committee. He gets to decide what should and shouldn't happen. And we had one tweet come in from Jeff Leonard who said, shouldn't have needed a second time to get it right. Should have made the decision right the first time. But at least he reevaluated the policy and went back and
right.
said, you know what? I've screwed up. And it's not often that the NFL can, or especially the commissioner, will say things like that.
That I got it wrong.
Right. So I appreciate that element and that aspect of it. But certainly you want to be able to look at the situation and feel good about what the NFL is doing if you're Roger Goodell. This is something where you're affecting the nation by how big this sport is. I mean, you can truly affect the way little kids behave just based off of what they see the players do. So I think it's a good thing. And then, of course, we'll see what happens with Colts owner Jim Irsay. And because again, they get to decide whatever they want to do. And that's, like I said, that's the kind of cool part about it.
I mean, a half mil for him, that good, mm-hmm. you know?
And
I
that
mean,
was the max that he could be
right,
fine.
He probably carries that, you know, through the weekend, but still.
He did have, I think, what, $29,000 in his car when
right.
he was
so,
pulled
but,
over?
But still, I mean, you see it. And to go off the point that you made that some women, you know, they don't step forward and they don't acknowledge it. And it has to be difficult for the NFL. For the fact that, you know, a girlfriend, a wife, you know, just anybody, a friend, will sit there and say, I don't, you know, they're not going to believe me if I say so-and-so hit me. They're not going to believe me at all. He's the king of the NFL, or he's the number one star on their team. So that's got to be difficult, and I really hope these women really start standing up.
I had a chance to catch up with a few players in the locker room yesterday to hear what they had to say about the new domestic abuse policy. So let's hear from them. Let's start off with Will Blackman.
With that, I think just even outside of football, it's a zero tolerance thing. To have a rule in place is something that's needed, you know, regardless if it was six games, 16 games, a year, a lifetime. You know, it's good to have something in place. Just to get some awareness, you know, it is a alpha male game. You know, guys are aggressive and or can be. So it's good to give that awareness. Once again, it's a zero tolerance thing, so something that, once again, we need to keep reiterating to, you know, protect females as well as protect ourselves, you know, to make the right choice, because at the end of the day, anger, attitude, it's a choice.
Paul Puzlesny.
It's severe penalties for something that that shouldn't happen in the first place. I mean, or talking about abuse against women. You can't do that. You know, you can't do that, and you shouldn't do that. So I think in this case, the punishment should be severe for something like that.
Cecil Shorts.
I know it's a very, very serious issue that needs to be handled. In my opinion, it should be serious. So 6 games the first time, I think, you know, that's good. And then a lifetime ban. So he's taking it very seriously, and that's something that's a serious topic. You should never hit a woman, period. And that's a very serious topic. So he's not playing around with it. He's not playing around. Did he get it wrong the first time? I mean, it's tough because you say, okay, Ray Rice got 2 games for whatever he did. You know, we know what he did. And then Josh Gordon or Ace Sanders, you know what I mean? He gets a certain amount of games for that. You know what I mean? So you look at it like, but there were set rules for drugs. And I feel like they weren't necessarily set rules for domestic violence at that time. And now there are.
And finally, Toby Gerhart.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think there's, you know, no exception for laying your hands on a woman. You know, I think all of us are brought up that way. We know that. And, you know, it shouldn't be overlooked in the NFL. And I think a stricter punishment is warranted.
So all the guys agree, and I mean, I'm not surprised. This is obviously a very, very serious issue. It's a good thing that awareness has been brought to it. It's a good thing that the league is trying to change the way that they're approaching it.
Can I just say, I love the reaction that you got from the players, but I love hearing Posluszny talk about it because it really sounded like it fired him up and he was very angry. He was very passionate when he spoke about that and answered your question.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was really a strong stance from everyone. And again, not surprising. This is a locker room filled with character guys. That's one thing that the Jaguars have always been about, is having guys in that locker room who represent this team very well. All right, when we do return, we're going to mix things up, and we're actually going to do some picks. Dee Murph is going to explain how we're going to do those picks, because I still get confused every time when I hear the word, the spread. NFL picks coming up next. This is Helmets and Heels, brought to you by Underwood Jewelers on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Jaguars football by women, for women, and men. Helmets and Heels on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to Helmets and Heels. A special shout out to Underwood's Jewelers. If you have any jewelry needs, I would recommend that you head to Underwood's. They are going to get you taken care of, whether it's an engagement ring, whether it's a watch for a graduation, whether it's a beautiful necklace, pair of earrings, doesn't matter. Underwood's is going to get you taken care of. And you know who's going to get us taken care of for this round of NFL picks? That would be the lovely Donna Murphy.
My shout out goes to Mike Dempsey for always making me pick against the spread. So that's what I'm making these girls do against
Thanks
the spread.
A lot, Mike.
Yep. We'll go into a little detail, but first let's get it started. That's right. I'm even using our old music bed.
No wonder you're dealing it so quickly.
Love it. All right, so first off, we're going to begin with Green Bay at Seattle. Now, the spread right now off VegasInsider.com, we have listed at Seattle -6, which means Green Bay is getting 6. So, round table, Blythe, first up.
I got Green Bay.
Jess? I'm taking Seattle for the blowout at home. I just think it's a tough place to play, and I think they're going to start out the season right.
I picked exactly the same way based off of the fact that they have the 12th man.
Well, I will be going to Green Bay at 6 points. Green Bay is supposed to have a heck of a team this year. Seattle lost a few players. I'm not too sure. But I'm
Jags.
I'm going to go with Green Bay. Next up, New Orleans in Atlanta. Atlanta will be getting 3 points. Lauren?
I'm going New Orleans all the way. Give me Drew Brees and the Saints.
Jeff? Yeah, I'll take New Orleans as well. Atlanta's coming off a weird season. I don't know if they have all of their issues solved yet.
I'm going to go New Orleans, too. I just can't. Most teams can't compete with that kind of offense.
All right, we're all for New Orleans. Minnesota at St. Louis. Minnesota will be getting 4. Surprise, surprise. Jess?
I will go with Minnesota. I think St. Louis, without Sam Bradford, is going to take some time to figure out their offense.
Lauren?
I would think that way, except I still don't think the Vikings have their quarterback situation figured out, so I'm going St. Louis.
Blythe?
I'm going to have to go with the backup quarterback situation, and I think that Minnesota has that more figured out than St. Louis.
I agree. I'm shocked you went with St. Louis. Sam Bradford being out, no, you still have faith in them.
I still have faith in them. Jeff Fisher's going to get it done.
All right,
they're going to cry.
You're on that island all by yourself. Cleveland in Pittsburgh. Cleveland. Maybe Manziel, you never know, is getting 6.5. Blythe?
I think Pittsburgh looks a little shaky in the preseason, so I'm going to pick Cleveland.
Mm. Jess?
I think Cleveland is still trying to figure out all of their drama. Give me Pittsburgh.
I'm definitely going Steelers. I don't want to ever have to cheer for Johnny Moon.
I completely agree with you on that one, Blythe. You're all alone with Cleveland there.
What's your nickname for Manziel?
Oh, Johnny. Oh,
Johnny Bag.
Johnny Bag.
Oh, we almost
Johnny got close on having to have the dump threat Johnny Bag for the very first time on Helmets and Heels.
All right, we'll skip Jacksonville and Philly because we'll do that one last. We have Oakland in New York to face the Jets. Oakland and Mojo are getting 5.5. Lauren?
Yeah, I'm going with the Jets. I don't think Oakland's going to do a dang thing this season, and I'm also cheering against them in general. So, Jess, all you.
Jess?
You know what? The Jets might luck into a few wins every season. If you're going to luck into one, it's going to be against Oakland. Give me New York.
And Blythe?
I'm going to go with the Jets. I think their offense, as crazy as it sounds, is a little bit more solidified than Oakland's.
I got to tell you, so I'm on the island of Oakland by myself. I have more faith in Derek Carr than I do in Geno Smith. That's simply put. Cincinnati at Baltimore. We have Cincinnati getting 1.5. Always a tough game between these two. Jess?
This, to me, might be one of the toughest to pick. Give me Cincinnati to cover. Did I say that right?
Yep.
Give me Cincinnati to cover.
Yes, to cover.
I have to refresh myself on picking against the spread every single time. I'll ask you to review the rules pretty much every week.
That'll work, Blythe.
Yeah, give me Baltimore.
Okay.
Definitely their run game is a little bit better than, especially with Bernard Pierce in there, not Ray Rice.
Nice.
Lauren. I'm going with the Red Rocket. Give me Andy Dalton to A.J. Green. Lots of touchdowns because I have A.J. Green on my fantasy team.
The one
that
you just did.
At least one of them. Yeah, the one that I got last night. I can't keep track of all of them, okay?
I'm going to go with the home team. I'm going to go with Baltimore. This usually is just a pick 'em game because it realms in the 1.5 to 3 points. So you got to pick whoever you think is going to be within that.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo in Chicago, the Bills will be getting 7. Blythe.
Let me get Chicago. It's going to be Cutler to Marshall all day long.
Jess?
Yeah, I'm surprised that this spread is not greater. EJ Manuel has been mediocre at best in the preseason, while Chicago is just stacked with offensive playmakers. Give me the Bears.
As a Florida graduate, I, of course, have to cheer against EJ Manuel. So, give me Chicago.
Give you Chicago. Well, you know what? I'm not surprised at 7.5 in the first half of the season. Buffalo usually plays surprisingly well, you know.
They were on a tear a couple seasons ago.
That's what they do. They go on a tear and then they plummet. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is closer and we all lose on this one because we're all with Chicago.
Luckily, I'm laying down my bets with Monopoly money, so exactly. I don't feel too bad when that $500 bill gets taken away from me.
Washington will be in Houston. And the Redskins will be getting 3. Lauren?
This, to me, was actually the toughest game. I don't think the Texans' offense has it figured out, but at the same time, the Redskins haven't looked half as good as I thought they would either in the preseason. So, for me, I ended up going with RG3 and the boys, but this was the one I labored over the most.
Jess?
I'm taking Houston only because they have home field advantage. That, to me, is the only determining factor in this game because I think there's so many question marks surrounding each one of these teams.
Blythe?
God, Jessica just convinced me to change my mind.
I'm scratching over there.
Last minute, I'm going to go with Houston just because of that D-line. And then just because RG3, I don't trust him.
JJ Watt's a happy camper today, by the way.
Yes, with that new contract.
Yeah.
$16.6 million. I'll
my
take it.
Goodness.
You know, it is hard picking for week one because you never know. And then week two, are they going to be the same as week one? So the first 2 weeks are always difficult. So
all I know is that when Blue picks San Diego to win, I pick against them because Blue always jokes that every time he picks San Diego,
it's true,
they lose. Every time he picks against them, they
win. Get him in line because that'll be the last one. Tennessee is in Kansas City. The Titans are getting 4. Jess?
Give me Kansas City because I think Tennessee might be the worst team in the division this year in the AFC South.
I like your thoughts.
Blythe? To my ears. I love hearing when the Titans are going to be terrible. So give me Kansas City.
And Lauren?
I'm going Kansas City as well. Andy Reid and the boys back again.
We're all on the Chiefs train. Next up, New England in Miami. The Dolphins will be getting 5. You never know. The Dolphins will be getting 5. Lauren?
Oh, I know. I'm going the Patriots all day, and I guarantee that I will put money down, real money, not Monopoly money, that you're going to take the Patriots as well, my dear Donna.
Jess?
I don't think this one's even close. Spot Miami 5, I think the Patriots still roll.
I don't even know how Miami got 5, so give me New England.
I have to tell you, they got 5. Tom Brady, he is wonderful, and he plays great, but never in Miami. This game will be very close, closer than you think. However, it is still Miami, and it's still New England, so I went with New England.
And my guarantee is still correct. I'm keeping my money for
yes,
today.
You are. You're keeping your money. Carolina in Tampa. This game is even, so it's a pick 'em. Lauren.
Yeah, I'm going Carolina. I think Cam Newton is going to have another breakout season.
Blythe?
Cam Newton all day. Give me Carolina.
And Jess?
Carolina, but I think that this one is going to be closer than people think. I think Tampa Bay might have one of the biggest turnarounds this year in the NFL.
I agree. And it probably helps that they just acquired Logan Mankin.
Yeah.
So that's going to be good and interesting. I, too, though, went with Carolina, so we're all with that. San Francisco in Dallas. The Cowboys are getting 4.5. Blythe.
I'm going to pick Dallas on this one. I think they have a great O-line, and Tony Romo, if you own him in fantasy leagues, you know that he throws all day. So I'm going to pick Dallas.
Lauren?
Yeah, well, if you own him in fantasy leagues, you also know that he will throw INTs all day. Give me the 49ers. I think Colin Kaepernick is by far the cutest quarterback in the NFL.
I was about to say, are the 4.5, is that the over-under on interceptions for Romo, or is that the spread?
Or fumbles, or whatever.
Yeah.
He'll get 6 touchdowns, though.
I'll take San Fran to set the tone for their season in a big win, marching into Jerry's World and taking that one on the road.
I, too, am with Lauren and Jess with going with the Niners. Sunday night matchup, Indianapolis travels to Denver. Indy getting 7.5. Jess.
I think that's going to be a phenomenal game. You know what? I had Denver, but give me Indy. This is the one I'm going to switch up. I think Indy's going to hold their own.
Is it the loss of Welker?
That did it for me. I'm sitting in.
That's it. Lauren?
You know, it's so funny that you said that. I was thinking about changing it because I now own Andrew Luck as a quarterback. And also, I think it's going to be hard for Indianapolis not to score. Denver's defense is not.
Denver rides offense.
Seattle just walloped them, and that's what's in my brain. But, you know, at the end of the day, I don't want to change because you changed on this one, so I'm sticking with the Broncos.
Blythe?
I'm going to go with Indy. I think Andrew Luck always has a little, something to prove against
Luck up his sleeve.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Mom.
Got him. So I'm going to go with Indy.
I don't blame you. This one was tough, but I don't see Peyton Manning losing his first game after that wallop at the Super Bowl. So I'm going to go with Manning and
that might have been the worst joke I've ever made, by the way. And it's probably been used about 40,000 times.
I gave you
I
a wop wop for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we got 2 Monday night games. First up will be the Giants in Detroit. New York is getting 5. Blythe.
Let me go with Detroit. I like them. Calvin Johnson, it's hard to go against him.
Jess?
Detroit looked good in the preseason against the Jags, and that was first team versus first team. I think the Lions might actually be legit, so give me Detroit.
I'm with you, ladies. I think Eli is going to have another rough season of throwing to the other team, so I'm taking the Lions.
I, too, am with Detroit. I'm trying to stick with Stafford until he gets hurt again. So
Stafford to Johnson all day, baby.
That'll be it. All right, the last Monday night game, San Diego in Arizona. The Chargers are getting 3. Lauren.
Well, if I am still awake by the time that this game happens, I'm going to consider it a win for
me. At 10:20 Eastern?
Entire week,
yes.
Yeah. But I'm going San Diego. Give me Philip Rivers, who is on the Helmets and Heels fantasy team. So
yes,
we're all cheering for him.
Jess?
Boy, this is another one I might have to switch up my pick. I took San Diego, but Arizona at home.
Did you phone Baloo?
Yes, he has decided to go with San Diego in this one, so I will take Arizona.
It's all over.
Blythe?
I'm going to go with the stronger QB, so I'm going to pick San Diego.
This was very tough for me. However, knowing that Arizona generally wins only at home. They're a bad team to pick on the road, but a great team to pick at home. It's like Seattle. It's hard to win there, so I'm going to stick with Arizona. All right, our last one, Jacksonville travels up to Philly. However, the spread is 10, and it's not, you know, the other way. We're going to go with Jacksonville getting 10. Blythe.
I'm going to go with Jacksonville. They did a Madden simulation with Jacksonville against Philly, and Scobie actually ended up kicking a game-winning field goal to win 17-14.
Nice.
So that's what I'm going off of.
Jess.
I don't pick against my Jags.
No, you never
give
do.
Me Jacksonville.
I don't know why I even questioned
you. Yeah, our show is located inside Everbank Field. I'm going to go with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Was it that massive Jacksonville Jaguars flag behind you, or maybe the teal and black pom-pom hanging off your microphone?
Fred Taylor behind
or the Gus
Donna.
Bradley bobblehead?
You got to be, obviously you can be honest and fair, but 10 points, really?
Yeah.
10 points?
Yeah.
What I want to see in this game, and we talked about it on Jaguars Today, mainly Jeff Logman talked about it, so I'm stealing from Logs. I want to see Telvin Smith cover the crap out of LeSean McCoy in the nickel package. Give me the Jaguars.
And I think that Telvin Smith is athletic enough to do that. I mean, I understand this Chip Kelly Philly offense is exotic and crazy and up-tempo. And, you know, but also a good point made today on Jaguars Today was that
there's more than one.
There's lots of good points. The Jaguars do run a lot of two-minute drill, a lot of, you know, similar situations in practice to, I think, to prep them for playing a team like Philly. So I think this one, I think this outcome surprises people at either who wins or how close it's going to be. So
right.
4-4, we're sticking by our Jags.
We're all with Jacksonville.
Did you make your pick? Yeah, we're all with Jacksonville.
Okay,
at 10 points, that's way too many. If it was 3, that would make me nervous and make me have to really think.
Sure.
But 10 points, that's crazy. So we will obviously keep tally, and we'll let everybody know how we did next week before we make our horrible
picks
again.
What do I win? Since obviously I'm going to win.
A high five.
All right.
High
I'll
five.
Take it.
That's what we get.
If I win.
I want a jumping
chocolate?
High five because y'all will all be in heels. So a jumping high five will be more difficult.
Oh, gosh. Good luck.
We're going to break our ankles.
And just like that, another episode of Helmets and Heels is almost in the book. When we do return, we'll find out who is Richard Miller going to take in Philly versus Jacksonville. That's coming up next. You are listening to Helmets and Heels, brought to you by Underwoods Jewelers on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Helmets and Heels on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
For people who ever wonder what behind the scenes of Helmets and Heels consist of, I'm just going to throw out a couple of phrases.
Ew.
Fat jeans, unibrows, neck hair. That's it. That's all you get.
I'm going to say that those were all your words.
Yes. My word was ew.
I was trying to keep it anonymous, but man.
I will throw
the cover
you
has been blown off of that
bus.
One. Oh, Richard Miller, I bet, is loving that he gets to do crosstalk with this show. Richard, how are you?
I'm excellent. Ladies, how are y'all doing tonight?
We are doing fantastic. We're just recovering from the giggles. So we were just making a couple picks around the NFL and, of course, the Jacksonville-Philly game. Everyone's got a vested interest in. Jacksonville's being spotted 10, but that kind of seems like a lot to us. What do you think? Jacksonville-Philly.
Well, for everything I've been reading, it looks like Philadelphia is guaranteed almost 34, 35 points for this game, and Jacksonville got to put, you know, maybe 28 to 30 plus on the board. I think 10 points is a little much. It's the largest this week for week one of the NFL season, but I think it might be a 12-point difference. I think it's going to be closer than we realize, but, you know, everybody's kind of down on the Jaguars, it seems like, nationally, giving the Jags no chance in week one.
All right, what you got coming up tonight? Any Jags talk?
We'll have Jags talk, yeah. Plenty of preseason wrap-up. We had the media tour again of the spas and cabanas and the neighborhood fan cave, so we'll get into that. We'll talk Jacksonville Suns, UNF men's basketball, releasing their schedule earlier today. We'll have Matthew Driscoll a little bit later on. Josh Norris, a good friend with Roto World.